Salina.
Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
And good morning to everyone, and thank you for listening to the Clay County Corner from the historic Clay County Courthouse right here in Salina, Tennessee. First up, we have a Diane Black interview with Ray Norris. It'll be approximately 15 minutes long, so sit back and enjoy the interview, and then we'll go live to the courthouse here with our guest for the day.
Good morning, Representative Diane Black. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ray. I'm great. How are you?
Real good. A little bit rainy and stormy, but it'll pass.
Yeah. That's what I'm hearing. It's really been raining. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I hope you're not getting any of that tornadic activity.
No, it looks like we're just on the fringe of that, so it doesn't look like we're going to have anything serious. So.
I was talking to the folks over in Putnam, and they were getting tornado warnings over there. So.
Wow.
I guess it's passed by you all and over to them.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like you've been relatively busy lately. There was this HHS mandate that's commanding a lot of attention, I guess, well it should. So how's this playing out?
Well, the Supreme Court began last week taking the oral arguments from Hobby Lobby. The family and their attorneys were there at the Supreme Court. I had the opportunity to stand out in the snow and wait for them to come out. I didn't get a chance to personally speak to them, but I did learn more about their family. They are a great family, a very spiritual family who have very deeply held beliefs. They started their company a number of years ago and have grown it exponentially across this country. And during that growth period, they have been very good to their employees. They provide excellent insurance, but they now, under the HHS, the Health and Human Services mandate, under Kathleen Sebelius, who was the one who actually wrote the rule for this, and by the way, if you go back and listen to the testimony that occurred in the Senate, which is where this amendment, or where this provision came from in the Affordable Care Act, you'll note that in there was no discussion about contraceptives or abortion-producing drugs. However, because what they were really wanting in the preventive services, things like mammograms and cervical screens and things of that sort for women,
yes.
It was Kathleen Sebelius who actually then crafted this piece where not only are contraceptives, but also all contraceptives, including those that cause abortion, must be included in private plans. And if not, if you are providing insurance and it's not in there, you will be fined $100 per day per person. And adds up. At the end of the year, that's $36,500. Obviously, per employee,
mm-hmm.
You can't overcome that. You'd either have to do one of two things. You'd have to close down your company and say, we're just not going to operate anymore. But who gets hurt when that occurs? It's the employees.
Absolutely.
Or you could say to your employees, we're not going to provide insurance any longer. And who gets hurt in that? It's the employees, because they right now have very, very good insurance. But it is the strangest thing that if you stay open, you don't provide any insurance, you have to pay $2,000 per person per year. And, of course, who gets hurt in that? The employees don't get any insurance. The company is paying $2,000 to the federal government. And, you know, you have to just shake your head. If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny that only Obamacare could create a system that carries an 18 times the fine for providing insurance coverage to employees than not providing the coverage at all. So it's a really difficult position for those who do hold deeply held beliefs and believe they have a right and have the freedom from this government of the oppression of violating their deeply held beliefs. And that's the Supreme Court's job, is to find a solution to this, or to tell the federal government, hey, we do have in our Constitution, in Amendment 1, a right to our religious belief, and the government should not have the ability to say that we can't hold those beliefs.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. What are your expectations on how this is going to play out once the court...
Well, it's awfully hard to tell what the Supremes will or will not do, but I will say this, that I was not there for the opening remarks. It is a very limited seating in the Supreme Court, but I did have some of my colleagues that were there, and they were encouraged by the questions that the Supreme Court judges were asking about do you believe that, and they were asking this to the Solicitor General, who is the representative for the administration, for the executive branch, do you believe that the federal government could come up with some other kind of idea, something else that they aren't going to say, we demand that you do, regardless of whether it violates your deeply held beliefs? And, you know, that the answer to that was pretty much, well, the government has the right, the government has the control to be able to do that. So what's next? You know, what is the next thing that this administration is going to tell people they have to do? So,
the scary thing there, Representative Black, is once they start chipping away at the constitutional rights that you and I have, what's next?
And we're seeing that where we have an imperial president who believes that they have the right, they being the executive branch, to pretty much dictate what we the people can and cannot do, or what we the people can and cannot believe in. And that is a very dangerous place for us to be when our government thinks that they don't have to abide by the Constitution and the beliefs that people have that we can violate those. So it's a real concern, and I think that all of us should be concerned to think that those rights which were given to us by our founding fathers that are so core to our government would be taken away from us.
Exactly. They fought a war to put this country together, and now we seem to be sliding down the wrong way.
Yeah, these are very deep concerns that we all should be concerned about. And I know there are some folks who just say, oh, well, this is just Hobby Lobby. No, I think this goes a whole lot deeper than that. It goes to the very core of who we are as a country and whether we are going to be consistent with our Constitution or whether we're just going to violate our Constitution and move away from it. And that's a big, big concern for me.
Well, me as well. And it is concerning if you look at the big picture over the past several years. Not a lot of good things have been happening from the White House, but also it's impacted the economy and the expectations of business people, and I think they're running scared right now.
Well, you're exactly right about the economy. We're all concerned about the economy, and I'm also concerned when we have an administration who thinks that 7% or 6.5% unemployment is okay, and a 2.5% increase in our GDP and our growth, our economic growth. That we can't get out of the place that we are with deficit spending with that kind of a lack of growth.
You're exactly
so,
right.
So I'm not going to be complacent. I'm not going to just sit back and say, oh, well, if it's not 8% and it's down to 7%, that we should applaud that. That's a real concern for me, that we are consistently over the last 5 years having unemployment rates that are over 6%. Sometimes up to 8%, 9%, and 10% in some areas of this country. That is a real difficult situation for us to be in, and we can't climb out of this if that continues.
And the longer it continues, the harder it's going to be to get out of that mess.
The longer we wait to find a solution to the drivers of our debt, the harder it will be to get out of it.
Exactly.
So we know what the drivers are. They are difficult decisions that have to be made. But as you represent, the sooner you make those decisions, the easier it is on the American people. And the more you kick the can down the road, the harder it gets. So
right.
We have got to find a way to make sure that we get this country back on track economically and also fiscally in our spending and our deficit and debt spending.
And speaking of that, also a current event is the budget issues that the House Republican budget. What really puzzles me is for the past, what, 4 or 5 years, the Democrats have chosen not to do a budget, and they get away with that. How is that possible?
Well, you know, we did have a bill that we did pass, and it was just a one-year deal where we said no budget, no pay. We are bound by the Constitution to pass a budget, both the Senate and the House, and we passed the budget for the first time since I've been here, because we've been on continuing resolutions, but we passed the budget back in December. You'll remember I was on the conference committee.
Yes.
And we were able to get a budget passed. Now, here's the problem, that we've got a president who doesn't even want to abide by that. He wants to add another $56 billion. It was just signed in December by the president, and he came out with his budget, and he blew what we had just agreed upon just a couple of months ago by putting an additional $56 billion worth of spending in his budget. So budgets are forecast. They're not only for the current year, but they're also looking out 10 years down the road. And we do that here in Congress because when you put a program in and it's going to affect as large a group of people as it does across the entire country, you've got to forecast what that's not only going to cost you today, but what's it going to cost you 10 years down the road?
Exactly.
And so our budget is a 10-year forecast. It is a vision for the future to say here's where we believe we should be going. And even though we have a budget agreement, years, we felt that we still needed to put our vision out there, and that's what we have done in the Path to Prosperity, where our budget balances in 10 years. It is pro-growth. We have the CBO that has scored it being pro-growth. And we just really believe strongly that we need to move forward on discussion in this budget process so that we can eventually do, as I say, that you get out of debt and you start paying your, you stop deficit spending and you start paying your debt now.
Regarding the budget, if the Senate changes hands at the next election and both the House and the Senate have budgets, do you expect the president to veto that?
I would hope that at that point in time the president would see that he can't veto everything that comes across his desk. I would love to be able to truly have a conversation with this president. I don't know that that's going to happen, but at least if we had two-thirds of the equation, we'd have a little more strength than what we have right now, and we could actually push some things toward the president and force him to have to deal with us. Right now, there is no forcing because Harry Reid over in the Senate won't even bring our measures to discussion. They're not even debated upon. So we really would love to be able to have two-thirds of that equation, which would give us a little more muscle to be able to push the kinds of things that we believe that this country needs to get us back on track.
Sure. Absolutely, I agree with you, and I hope that does come to pass because this country needs to start getting more responsible as far as how we run our government and how we spend the taxpayers' money.
Absolutely, that's what my role and my responsibility is here in Congress is to protect the American people in my district and also I think ultimately in the state and the entire country. So, although I represent the 6th congressional district, I'm frequently thinking about how does this affect every American, not only Americans that are living today, but also future generations.
Exactly. We have possibly mortgaged the future of our children, and you know our grandchildren are going to be impacted by this as well.
Oh, no doubt. I have children now that are grown adults, and I'm looking at my grandchildren thinking, they're looking to me and saying, Mimi, why did you allow us to get into this situation where we have so much debt that, you know, a child born today is already $53,000 in debt?
Yes.
And it's unconscionable to think that we as adults can't control our spending and that we're going to say, well, grandchildren, we're sorry that we couldn't control our spending. Here's the debt. You take care of it. Now you figure it out. That is not a responsible way to leave one generation in debt to the other.
It's certainly not setting a good example, is it?
No, indeed.
That's one thing we do owe our grandchildren. Oh, well, listen, I know you're a busy person today. I want to thank you for spending time with us. And next time that you're in the neighborhood, please stop by Clay County. We'd love to sit down and have coffee with you.
Oh, Well, we are going to have a town hall over in Macon, and we hope that you all will join me there. I'm going to be discussing this and many other issues, and let me get to that piece of paper that says when we're going to have that town hall.
Very good.
Yes, okay. So we have a town hall scheduled for Macon County on Tuesday, April the 22nd at 5:30 in the evening, and it will be at the county courthouse in Lafayette.
Very good.
So please come join us. We'll talk about this and many, many other issues that are important to people.
We will try. Thank you very much, Representative,
okay.
And you have a great day, and God bless you.
You do the same. God bless you and everyone in the area. Please stay safe in this weather.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
And that was an interview between Ray Norris and Representative Diane Black, and this was pre-recorded on Friday, April the 4th. We'll be right back right after these commercial breaks with more of the Clay County Corner.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closier. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter Paints dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Good morning. Welcome to the Clay County Corner. And coming to you today from the beautiful historic courthouse on the square in Salina. We've got great weather today. It's time to be out and start working on those yards. We have a special guest to talk to today about some things like that. We have a really good guest to talk about an upcoming event, and then we're going to talk about some happenings in the school system. This is Doug Young today. Thomas Watson and Susan Bailey, our usual announcers, couldn't be here. So be listening in a few minutes. We're going to have a special question and see if somebody can answer this and win a moonshine knife. Now, these moonshine knives are worth about $50, so you better be listening. We're going to have a question that everybody ought to know the answer to, and you'll have to call in to win it. First caller will win. Today, our first guest is Nathan Ramos. Nathan, welcome to the Clay County Corner.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
And you're here today to talk about a special event coming up. What can you tell us about it?
Well, the special event starts on June 12th at the fairgrounds down at the horse arena. We're doing a BMX event. We're going to have a flat track set up down there for all the kids, all ages. And we'll have a special show during the BMX races of bicycle tricks done by me. And we're just looking for support for the BMX event.
What is a BMX event?
A BMX event is anything under 20 inches.
Anything, any what?
Any bicycle under 20 inches, preferably 12, 16 to 20-inch bicycles.
Oh, this is not a motorcycle.
No,
this,
sir.
Bicycles.
These
okay.
Bicycles will be pedaling around a flat track.
Right.
It's going to be set up as an oval. And we'll be having age group from 5 years old to 25 to 30, depending on how many people show up. We'll have bicycles provided. And if there's anyone out there that would like to donate a bicycle so a kid will have the opportunity to race around the track.
Do you have any bicycles for old guys like me that just bear with training wheels on them and things like that?
Yes, sir, we do. We're working on that, too.
All right. Is there an admission to get into this event?
No, sir. Everything is free. It's all about the kids. We're trying to do something for the kids, so that they have something to do, get back on their bicycles, enjoy the outdoor weather. You know, it's going to be beautiful this summer, and bicycle is the way to see the country.
And that's great, because these kids today need a bunch of exercise, and there's no better exercise than riding that bike. I remember in my days riding up the hills, and today I couldn't do that. How many kids do you expect to have this time?
I'm hoping anywhere from 20 to unlimited. I mean, the more the merrier. I mean, the more kids that come out, the more exposure it gets, the more excited kids get back on their bicycle.
Great, great. What if they bring their own bike? Is that all right?
Yes, sir. I would prefer them to bring their own bicycle. That way they're more comfortable on it. And the more comfortable they're on their bicycle, the better they'll do on the track.
Now, what kind of events do you have? Is it a race or is it perform? Or?
There's going to be a performance show done by me. It's going to be in the center of the arena. But we're going to have for the kids, we're going to have an oval track set up with some little jumps on there just to slow their time down. And it'll also be a time trial. So they won't be racing against other kids all at once. They'll be starting out, and we'll set a stopwatch, and they'll be competing against time.
Ah, you're going to do a performance event. So I take it that you can do some of this fancy stuff.
Yes, sir, I can. I've been riding since I was 9 years old. I'm 30 now, and I've got to do a lot of traveling because of my bicycle, and I've seen lots of the beautiful countryside here.
I saw on the internet the other night this guy was riding up a ramp and did a complete flip in the air and landed and come down. Can you do something like that?
Yes, sir, I
can. You can do that.
And I hope to see a bunch of kids out there to witness this, because it's something I love to do. It's my passion, and I would love to give back to the sport of BMX by allowing kids to be able to do what I've done for so many years.
That looks like a fantastic event. It takes a lot of riding, a lot of work to get that kind of skill.
Yes, sir.
So we want to try to get as many people out as we can.
Yes, sir, we do.
Now, I'm sure you've advertised this in the schools, haven't you?
We are still in the process of it. Everything's getting worked out. We've got the date. We know what we're going to do at the event, and we just want as many kids as we can to come out there. And we're trying to stress that it is free. Everything is free about it. If you don't have a bicycle, come out anyways. We will try and provide one for you so that you can do the event. There should be no kid that can't do this.
And one more time, what's that date?
June 12th.
June the 12th at the fairgrounds.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll be looking forward to that event. Do you have anything else?
And we will have trophies and ribbons provided, so in all the different classes, we'll have at least 5 trophies and ribbons for each
class.
Well,
that's great. So the kids can come out and win a ribbon or even better, a trophy.
Yes, sir.
And start learning a new skill and get really good at riding a bike.
Yes, sir.
You want to have any, what do they call these with one wheel? Unicycles?
If there's anyone out there that can ride a unicycle, more than welcome to come out. I'd love to see it, too.
You don't do unicycles.
No, I stick to two wheels.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I grew up in West Palm Beach, Florida. My dad got me into BMX when I was 9. And ever since then, it was something to do every weekend. You get to meet people all over the country, sometimes the world. And it's just something that it was always there for me, and I'd love to give back to it and give another kid something that they can look forward to on their bicycle.
Well, great. We look forward to this event, and everybody out there listening, the kids are in school today, so they're not going to hear this announcement, but they might hear it tonight. So have everybody to come out, bring your kids, and grandparents, bring your grandkids out, and let's have a big time at this event. Randy, we'll come back to the station now and see if we can't pick up a commercial.
Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for GatorMate trailers. GatorMate is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. GatorMate trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for GatorMate trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner. Our special guest today, the springtime is here, and we're going to be talking to Randall Kimes, the UT Agricultural Extension Agent for Clay County. And welcome, Randall.
I'm proud to be here.
You're proud to be here. What kind of good words do you have to bring us today?
Well, you had a lead in earlier about the purple weed in everybody's yards. It's that time of year that I get that call. And I have to give the bad news. At this point, all we do is mow it down. I'll spin this into an agricultural question momentarily, but the bulk of the weed that we have in our yard, the bulk of it is henbit. There's a couple that are related weeds, and they all have purple blooms, but there's more than one weed involved in the yards. They're a winter annual, and which means that they grow in late fall, the mild parts of the winter, and then early spring. And then their reproductive cycle tells you when it's warming up and it's time to produce flowers and begin to reproduce, that it's an annual. And it'll be a reseed and come back next year. This weed is one that has to be, from a chemical standpoint of controlling it, it has to be sprayed in late November or early December. A general rule of thumb is 360-degree days in a row to get your temperature up, and then you can spray it. There's a number of herbicides that we can use. The old standby is 2,4-D that we have known for years. There are other ones that homeowners can use. Lots of them now are impregnating herbicides into fertilizers. So you can get over-the-top herbicide when you apply with a fertilizer. Again, it needs to be done either in late November, early December, or in late January, early February. But the problem is then is your temperature. Because if you don't have the warm temperatures, the herbicide just won't work right. So the best thing to do is just plan mid to late November to spray with it. I alluded to spinning this off. The same type question applies in agriculture, in our pasture fields. In about 3 or 4 weeks, my phone at the office and my phone at the house are going to ring off the hook about that pretty yellow bloom that's out in everybody's fields. All right, that's buttercup. It's not the little daffodils that, you know, when I was a kid, when you talked about buttercup, you talked about little daffodil flowers that come up in January and February. But buttercup in for forages and pastures and hayland, it's the treatment of it is the exact same as the hen bit in the yards. They are both winter annuals. They both have to be sprayed to eradicate them. The only difference is you have a little a longer window with the buttercup. We could actually, if somebody could spray this week, we could still get some control of buttercup and see a stark, noticeable difference in the wheat, in the pasture. You can in the buttercup. I mean, in the hen bit. It's already blooming. My wife's fussing at me because I don't spray the yard, but it needs to be, you know, the buttercup you can spray a little later.
Well, my concern with that purple stuff, what are you calling that?
It's a hen bit.
Hen bit.
Yeah.
Okay, but what my concern with that is if I kill it out, will I have anything left because it's got my whole yard covered?
Well, that's the problem. We just, lawn maintenance is, I really admire those individuals that have those immaculately manicured lawns. I don't admire them enough to emulate them because they work countless hours. But just establishing a lawn is a major undertaking. But those people that just year after year after year after year, they've got a pretty lawn. They have done a good job of treatment. They've done a good job of weed control. And most of them understand mowing hive. That's the biggest reason we have the hen bit is because we mow our grass too low. If instead of mowing down to 1 or 2 inches, if we would mow 3 or 4 inches high, still mow just the same frequency as you do nubbing it into the ground, you would have a prettier lawn and you wouldn't realize the mowing height difference. But grass to regenerate, there's a direct correlation between root growth and growth above the ground. If you have 4 inches of growth at the top versus 2 inches above ground, that has 2 inches of growth above ground, will have less root system than will 3 or 4 inches. And that is directly related to every summer when it turns off hot and dry. If you mold it into the ground, it'll stress and you'll lose it. Then when we lose it, we don't have a stand. Then the hen bit weed seeds are scattered in there. They sprout. They have no competition during the winter. And here we go. And that's why we have so many purple yards.
Well, I know that a lot of us are afraid to fertilize our yards, afraid to make our grass grow faster, and we'll have to mow more often. And I guess I'm one of those people, but then I end up with crab grass and this hen bit or whatever it was, and it just takes over my yard. But fertilizing has to be very important. I know a long time ago when Coach John Peoples built his house down in the Clark subdivision, he set out some pine trees. And some of us went down and helped him do that. And right next door to him, Al Smith was living. Al Smith was the soil conservation guy at that time. Well, Al put some tile in the ground so he could fertilize his pine trees. And so ever so often he'd throw a handful of fertilizer in there and run water. And then in a few years, Al's pine trees were like 5 times as big as Coach Steeple's pine trees that got no fertilizer. So it's a very graphic example of what fertilizer will do for you.
Well, a lawn is an agronomic crop, just like anything I deal with, and their performance of those are directly related to about 3 or 4 things. And there's in all the textbooks they have a water stave barrel, and they'll have one of the staves coming up on it. It'll have nutrition. And then they'll have a stave that'll come up and will have moisture or water. And then they'll have one that'll come up and it'll say temperature. And all those things, a lawn or any agronomic crop, can only do as well as the least limiting or the most limiting of those three things, fertility, temperature, and water. Well, if we never do anything to fertility and lots of lawns are never fertilized. I refuse to fertilize my wife's lawn. I mean, I refuse to. But consequently, if your fertility levels are low, it can't perform any higher than what that fertility level is. So the rule of thumb on lawns is to take a soil test. Costs $10 to get it sent off. It'll tell you what to do. And then not get stupid with any of those three things that we put down, nitrogen, phosphate, or potash. Just don't get stupid with it, especially the nitrogen. And you can have a pretty lawn, but the place to start is a good basic soil test.
Well, tell me about how do I do that?
All right, a soil test for a lawn, you need to go, like a typical lawn, say it's a quarter of an acre. Just go tear 12 spots out in there and just take your little hole and just dibble down and sample the top 2 or 3 inches. Just take a sliver out of or a small amount out of each sample side. Mix it up, bring it by the office, and we'll do all the paperwork and get it properly dried and send it off. But get like the buttercup. We think about taking a soil test 6 weeks after we need to put the fertilizer down. So that soil test, if you take one now, it'll still be good for you to give you a good recommendation for this fall. Probably would taste what you need to do this spring.
All right, let's take a break here and see what's happening in our commercial today. Let's go to the station and take it from there.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
I told you at the beginning of the program we were going to ask a question. If somebody can answer this question, they're going to win a moonshine knife. And I'm going to start out with a hint, and then if nobody answers it, then I'll give another hint and another hint, and maybe somebody will win the knife by the end of the program. The number to call is 260-7668. 260-7668. And the first hint, or the man's name I'm looking for, is we used to have, before we had a high school in this part of the country, we had an academy. It was Montbell Academy. And we had a very famous man to graduate from Montbell Academy. Who is that man? Okay, Randall, we're going to go back now, and what have you got to offer today for the farmers?
Well, I alluded to the buttercup spraying. Awful winter as far as the farmers trying to get anything done. Right now, people are getting fertilizer down that we might have done 2 weeks ago if the weather cooperated. But buttercup control is something for the next few days we can think about. Fertility management on the hay fields, you know, we encourage people to work towards that. Just last week, I received the grant applications for producers to apply for Tennessee Ag Producer Enhancement Grants. Those are due the 1st of June. As always, I'll have 3 or 4 meetings in mid-April to on over through May for producers to fill those grants out. The grants, they they apply for beef genetics, purchasing the bulls, facilities, the cattle handling facilities, those type things, and also hay storage barns. This is a program that we've worked really hard here in Clay County on, and I want to give some people some recognition. We're very fortunate in that we have undoubtedly the best Tennessee Department of Ag rep that works Clay County, along with some other ones. Wes Montooth, he's been a big help. The folks at NRCS, they had already schooled Clay County producers on the method of applying for these grants, and they had the mindset working on it. And we've been very successful. The first 5 years of the grants in the state, Clay County was 11th in the state. Something in the neighborhood of $1 million were put into Clay County. Two direct grants to producers that were matched by those producers, basically one-to-one match. You take a multiplier effect of $4.20, which is what they say that when it turns over in the economy, how much effect that has. So we're looking at a big improvement to the local economy. I want to brag on Clay County because we were 11th in the state. But if you figure it on a per cow basis, because we have a small number of cattle, we're a small county. But on a per cow basis, we are number one in the state in the Ag Enhancement Program. And that's pretty impressive for a real small rural county that's stressed with economic situations beyond our control. But the farmers in the county have saw an opportunity to make a big difference. And you drive through the county now and look at the hay barns that are still full of hay. Well, that's just a relationship of fact that all the hay is stored outside in the round bales. A minimum of a third of it is lost every year. We're putting that in the barn. And consequently, the farmers aren't feeding as much hay. So they've got, you see several barns that hay hasn't been taken out of it. It don't take as much to feed cows if they're eating good hay versus rotten hay. So it's a good program, one that I'm proud of. We've worked pretty hard to get that done. So producers, just be holler at me if you see me, but don't worry, we are going to have meetings, and everybody's going to have opportunity to apply in that grant program. Some quick things on 4-H. It's starting to be my busy time of the year, and that we're starting to gather up lambs for kids to show. We also were going to expand our work with kids showing market hogs during the summer. We have had a huge successful program with market hogs going to Murfreesboro in January, starting to work towards taking some hogs to the Wilson County Fair and the Tennessee State Fair. The next few weeks we'll be working on that, and you all have already talked about the fair. You know, naturally everybody's getting ready for the Clay County Fair, and a lot of prep work comes involved in all those processes.
I've noticed in driving through the county that we seem to have a whole lot more cattle than we used to. We can almost call some of these outfits ranches. There's so many cattle out there.
Looks sometimes are deceiving, okay? Our cattle numbers have basically stayed the same here locally. What you're referring to is seeing large groups of smaller type cattle that we've expanded into what they call stockering operations. And they'll be a large group, say 100 head of 300 to 400 pound calves come in and be kept on the property for 2 to 3 months and then are gone. That's the ranch type thing that you're referring to. From a cow number standpoint, we've not deviated much over the years. Nationally, however, our cow numbers are considerably below the numbers that we have had since the early 1950s. We've had a prolonged drought in the central part and the western part of the United States. We've had high prices, and consequently, farmers haven't retained replacement females because they're just worth too much not to sell. And so right now is a good time to be in beef production in Clay County or anywhere in the United States. If we've got the grass to feed them, we'll make money with them.
Anybody raised any bucket calves much anymore?
Very little.
I raised two bunches of those once and did really well with them. I was proud of that. Randall, we really appreciate you coming by, and you need to come by more often. We need you in here about once a month to bring us up to stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff happening in the UT Extension office, and radio people out there need to hear about that.
You just give me a call, and I'll be here.
All right. We appreciate you coming today, and we'll go back to the station for a commercial announcement.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closier. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter paint dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter paint, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter paint's experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back to 101.5 Kicks Country and Country Corner on the Square. We have a winner for a knife, and that winner is Scott Hunt. Got it on the first question, so he's been doing some homework. The answer to the question was Cordell Hull attended the Montbell Academy, and I had a bunch of other hints. But Scott just slid right in here and won the knife. So we'll get that knife out to you, Scott, and thanks for responding. Our next guest this morning is someone who's been on before, and we have Jane Ann Donaldson with us today. Jane Ann, what's going on in the Clay County school system right now?
Well, a lot's going on, Dr. Young. One of the things I wanted to talk to everyone about today was the freshman orientation that's coming up, and this is for all of the 8th grade students in the county that are going to any of the schools, either one of the schools. Anybody that will be a freshman at Clay County High School next school year, that's going to be on April the 22nd at 5 o'clock. This is for parents and students. So this is a very important meeting. They will register for the school year, and they will also be ready, hopefully, to choose a program of study at that time. And a program of study, some people may not know what that is, and basically what this amounts to, you know, students have always taken electives during their high school years, but this is a way that the state says they have built this into their requirement. So they must have a program of study, which is something like a major. But all that means is they're choosing 3 electives to take just in one area. So they have to concentrate in one area and take at least 3 of those. They also can take electives in that area randomly and not choose that as their program of study. So they're really, they're just going to get, the parents are going to get information about the different programs of study and the different electives, as well as the required classes that their students will take for all 4 of their years at their high school.
That's, we used to call that a major.
Right.
And this is my 50th year. I'm still actively involved in education. And in the last 50 years, I've seen a whole lot of programs come down.
Sure.
And it looks like we are improving education year by year by year through several different facets. What we see today is far ahead of the high school program that we had back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my day, it took 16 credits to graduate from high school. How many does it take now?
Well, the minimum is 22, but the local high school can decide. I believe it's 25, and they may be increasing that next year. It depends on how many they can take, depending on their schedule. You know, they go into a modified block scheduling now, where some of their classes run all year long, and some of them run just a semester long. So it depends on how many total credits as to how many they can do, and those do vary as they change from schedule to schedule.
And now, Clay County High School has entered in a big way to UL credit, so they can get not only high school credit, but college credit.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. There are two things going on, really. The dual enrollment, like you mentioned, where sometimes the college teacher will come on the campus to the high school and will teach there, and you were instrumental in getting a lot of that and continuing a whole bunch of that, Dr. Gunn, during your tenure as the director of schools here in Clay County. But we are continuing that, and sometimes they have a live teacher, like I said. Other times they will do just on the computer, but they will be registered with Ball State Community College that way and gain credit. Another thing they can do is the dual credit. Now, that is a credit by assessment where a student can pay $10 at the end of certain classes, and that teacher, the teacher that's employed by just their local school system, tries to align her curriculum to the college curriculum. And at the end of that time, if that student wants to take that test, they may do so, pay $10, and if they pass that test, they get that three-hour course added to their college transcript. So that's a really economical way to get some college credit. So there are multiple ways to get college credit for our students, and that's a very good opportunity.
I understand you've had several students that get a whole year of college behind them while they're still in high school.
Absolutely.
The example that I like to use in that, if a student wants to be a medical doctor, and they go ahead and they get that 1 year behind them while they're still in high school, what's that year, 1 year worth? To a medical doctor, that means that he's going to be practicing medicine out here 16 years later, a year early. That means that 1 year could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to him, because that's the kind of money that medical doctors make. And just because he took those courses while he's still in high school, he's out and running earlier. And it's just a fantastic program.
Exactly. I can think of multiple students. We have one student that graduated last year that I can think of, and she was in the health science program of study. And for the health science program of study, we have a teacher from the Tennessee College of Applied Technology, used to be called the Technology Center. Before that, some of us called it the vocational school at Livingston. But she's employed by them, but she teaches on our campus all the time, our health science classes. She took those classes. She did the dual enrollment also for her English and other things. As well, she took a medical terminology test. And we don't even have the medical terminology class, but we have health science classes. At the end of some of those classes, the end of her senior year, she took the medical terminology test. She passed it. It cost her $10, and she got that three-hour course added to her transcript. She enrolled in Tennessee Tech this past fall. The very semester that she enrolled in the fall, she had to turn around and apply for Tennessee Tech's nursing program, which you normally don't do unless you have at least a year or over under your belt. So really proud of things like that that are happening.
In some places in Tennessee, for kids who really want to put their shoulder to the grindstone, I talked to a young lady this fall at a Tennessee Tech event in DeKalb County, and she was going to have her associate degree when she graduated from high school. But now she has really put her shoulder to the grindstone, and she's taken online courses, and she is way ahead of the game. But that's amazing to be able to, at graduation night, walk across that stage and get your high school diploma and an associate degree on the same night. Now, you've sacrificed because you've not had the opportunity to be out here running the roads on the weekends.
Right.
You had to be home studying, but then it has the payoff on the other end when you're on the job market 2 years early. What else do you have for us, Jane Ann?
Well, I just wanted to briefly mention those programs of study, if I could, real quickly, just
sure.
So the students
sure.
know. And don't forget, parents and students, if you're going to be a freshman at Clay County High School, we need you to be at Clay County High School April the 22nd at 5 o'clock for that freshman orientation. I've been with some groups of students, and we've been to the 8th grade classes. And we talked about these different programs of study. One of them we have is the Agriculture, Engineering, and Applied Technologies. It used to be Ag. Bumped up, like Dr. Young said, we've really bumped up a lot of things. Okay. Also, we have the Administrative and Information Support. That's our business program of study. We have the Therapeutic Nursing Services, which is our health science that I mentioned. And the Social Health Services. Now, that's our former Family Consumer Science Home Ec. In addition to those programs of study, we have the Math Science Program of Study, and we have the Fine Arts Program of Study. So please come out to freshman orientation, Clay County High School, April 22nd at 5 p.m. Thank you, Dr. Young.
Thank you. Thank you for coming today, Jane. We probably need somebody from the school system every week because at this time of the year, you're preparing for the next school year, and parents need to know what's going on. This is a good vehicle to do that. Again, thank you for coming out today. We look forward to having you back again.
Thanks, Dr.
Right now, we want to make sure we get the birthdays on, and Lois is here to give us the birthdays. Lois?
Thank you, Dr. Young. Saturday, April 12th, is Nate Adams' birthday. He'll be 7 years old. He's the son of Tia and Michael Adams, and we're sending a birthday wish to him from his mom, dad, his brother Nolan, sister Tyler, Mimi, Poppy, by Larry, Mimi, Martha Hired, and KK, and Nana, and a host of aunt, uncles, and cousins. Happy birthday, Nate.
Thank you, Lois. Want to make an announcement for anybody in the community or any group in the community that has a community or a countywide event coming up this summer. We're putting together some announcement sheets and some very special ways to let people know. This is not for family reunions or class events like that. It'll be for the big countywide events that we might have in Clay County. We invite you to call the Chamber of Commerce at 243-3338 and give us the details on that, and we'll try to get that on the announcement sheet that we're sending out. It looks like we've had a good day today. Jane is bundling her stuff up, getting ready to go back to school. Lois has made the birthday announcements, and we've had Randall Kimes on to tell us what to do with that purple stuff in our yard, and so we've had a pretty good day. We welcome everybody to come back here next week when you have your regular announcers on that can have a little bit better day than I've had today. I found out that we were going to be doing this morning about 20 minutes before time, and we've rounded up some good people. Now, remember, too, that tonight at 6 o'clock, this will be rebroadcast. And so if you want to know how to get rid of that purple stuff in your yard, be sure to listen in tonight at 6. And Randall Kimes will tell you again how to get rid of it. And remember, you're not going to get rid of it this year. You're going to have to wait till next year.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.